We Protestants don't deal with Mary, the mother of Jesus, very well. Just get that on the table right up front. Scott McKnight, a wonderful Protestant scholar, I can't wait, his book's coming today. It's on Mary, because I'm preaching on Mary again next week. He says, and I'm quoting him here, "We Protestants pull Mary out of a box and dust her off every Advent to place her at a manger and then wrap her up January 1st, pat her on the bottom, and put her back in the box for another year." That's what we do. Emotions can rise as we reflect on the beautiful interaction between Mary and Elizabeth. That's our text this morning. The conversation extends back to the Council of Ephesus in 431. That's when the church dealt with a lot of this. We Protestants, we are protesters, and we tend to push historical dialogue to the side, looking back only as far as 1517 when Martin Luther nailed some stuff on the Wittenberg door. Karl Barth was very Protestant. He was very Reformed. He played in the dirt of the early Christian thinking and listened closely to the Catholic and the Orthodox and the Protestant conversation. And Barth rubs our noses in the Bible with this high view of Mary. And he says that the biblical language should not be brushed aside. So here we are. I remember standing with colleagues and friends around my good friend Father Skeen, old Irish priest. How good of a friend was he? The day before he died, he patted me and he said, he was in the hospital, and he patted me on the leg as I was praying with him. And he just said, "You know, Mark, you can call me Martin." Priests don't do that, especially old Irish priests. I kissed him on the forehead an hour before he died, and I remember all of those friends gathered around him praying the rosary. I remember a mom wrapping her rosary around her hand that was already wrapped with the oxygen tubes of her 18-year-old son. For 3 hours, she never stopped praying, "Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Hail Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen." Never stopped. Those experiences and many more, they're haunting, they're traumatic, and I want you to know they're beautiful. To be a part of that. Yes, beautiful. If anyone understands the death of a son, who is it? It's Mary. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother. John tells us that. She, powerless, saw her son tortured to death in the worst, most humiliating death. Her simple Advent prayer to the angel, "Be it unto me as you have said," is at the cross not so simple. Almost all the rosary from the Catholic tradition is directly out of Scripture, believe it or not. Mary is the mother of God. Elizabeth says to Mary, "The mother of my Lord." The church council at 431 adopted the expression, "mother of God." Theotokos is the word. And the church debated over this because some thought it over-exalted Mary. Others argued for the centrality of Christ. You see, there was this guy named Nestorius that were saying Mary did not give birth to God. And the church said, no, we have to hold that up. The deity of Jesus needed some confessional support to protect the expression of faith. Mary was the mother of God. And so the story of Mary and Elizabeth, blessed Mary, wise Elizabeth. Young, inexperienced Mary, gray-haired, wise Elizabeth. Virgin Mary, yet pregnant. Postmenopausal Elizabeth, yet pregnant. We get a couple Advent verbs from this story. Two Advent verbs I'm going to give us this morning. What is central to Mary's angel visitation and Elizabeth and Zechariah's angel announcement is Jesus. Verb one is look. Look. The angel tells Mary she will become pregnant by the Holy Spirit. I don't think this woman of faith really knew everything that meant. Her question to the angel was, how can this be? Does heaven's biology textbook not have a chapter on sex? Mary tries to inform the angel the things on earth work a specific way. She tosses out the word virgin in the conversation. The angel tells Mary, don't sweat it. It'll be a miracle. The spirit that hovered over creation's start will encircle you, Mary. Mary, just leave the pregnancy thing up to God. And then Gabriel gives Mary a math lesson, basically. A virgin woman minus a man plus the God of creation equals a baby. The great Baptist scholar and pastor and teacher, Calvin Miller, put it this way. It doesn't matter that you understand. The strength of all earthmakers' logic always meets the human mind as madness. Isn't that a beautiful way of putting it? It is here that Gabriel points to old Elizabeth to give credibility to God's power to oversee the virgin birth. Geriatric Elizabeth is not moving into the assisted living. Zechariah is painting the guest room blue because just like virginity is no match for God's power, neither is menopause. Mary and Elizabeth are on opposite ends of the pregnant possibility. Surprise, God's moving among you. Mary starts looking. Look at Elizabeth. Open your eyes. So verse 39 tells us that Mary dashed to Elizabeth. Now understand, Mary wasn't bulging or feeling feet kicking inside of her. She probably, though, got a lot of blisters on her feet. The walk to see her relative was 80 miles, a three-day journey. This trip could bolster those Mary's faith. She could place her hand on Elizabeth's six-month pregnant stomach, and she could feel that Gabriel's message is true. I mean, there used to be a guy, he passed away, some of you will know who he is, at the CMA, that was a greeter, and he was known that when pregnant women walked through the door, he'd reach out to touch their stomach. Not a good idea, but Mary thought it was a good idea to go touch Elizabeth's stomach. Elizabeth does her own looking. Luke 1 reads that Zechariah and Elizabeth of verse chapter 1, verse 6, were both righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. Elizabeth has learned life is immersed in God's reality. She observed, she saw the direction of Yahweh. God was all around her. Mary sprints in and John does a backflip in Elizabeth's womb. Elizabeth knew God was speaking to her. Twice we're told that John leaped. I love the picture. The sidebar here, though, is, was John a person in the womb of Elizabeth? I love that child laughing, leaping for joy in a womb. You know, we now know DNA issues. John is not part of Mary's body. He is given hospitality in his mother's body. As the Catholic writer Peter Kraef says, if we want to take it to certain levels, if John is part of Mary's body and not just finding a space there by grace, then we would have to say that Elizabeth or Mary with Jesus had a penis. Think about that. The scriptures tell us that John speaks in his leap to Mary. He's communicating to her, and he's communicating to Elizabeth. Elizabeth knew God was speaking to her when that baby jumped. He talked by kicking. We receive now, this is, don't start the next thing, this is a video. And we couldn't get the sound to work, and we don't know why, we tried. But this is my granddaughter, Maisie Moo. And you'll see her giggling, but you won't hear. She is having a ball. Watch this video. Go ahead and play it. It's not playing. There we go. The laughter in it is wonderful. She's just giggling and giggling and giggling. It brought us great joy this week to watch it. And I love the puppy playing. Maisie giggles as she tempts the dog with the stuffed animal. And the video is about 2 minutes long. But she pulls it back and then she dangles it over here. And the dog runs over and tries to grab it. And then she pulls it and she's going back and forth like this and about breaking the dog's neck. If Maisie could hold it high, the dog would be leaping to get it, and she'd be pulling it away. There's joy in the video. There is joy in Elizabeth's womb. It's a puppy little baby joy. And John's flipping. John goes on a leaping frenzy, and Elizabeth recognizes this leap as the voice of God through a wombed boy. Elizabeth has prophet Malachi in her head, in her dreams. Chapter 4, verse 2. It says, "Not a root or a branch will be left to them, but you will revere my name. The Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings. And you will go out and leap like calves released from the stall." Mary looks at Elizabeth, pregnant Elizabeth. Elizabeth looks to leaping John in her womb, and together they're encouraged in God's salvation work because God's on the move. The people had waited hundreds of years for Elijah in the person of John to show up. 400 years. And now John is leaping in Elizabeth's belly. Advent is a time to look at the mystery of God's activity. Look with anticipation. Don't run past leaping John moments in our lives. The Spirit of the creation God lives in us. We are pregnant with the life of God. I was going to wear my pregnant t-shirt that Maddie got for me. It says, "I got pregnant at our Redeemer Presbyterian Church." Because we are pregnant with God's Spirit. Creation. This whole incarnation thing happens all the time. God's life is in you. It's not your life. It's God's life living in you and through you. Jesus told us that leaping John is the Elijah that was to come. That's what Jesus said. The verb used, Luke uses, pulls us into Malachi for the leap. Because the anointed one, the Messiah, is coming and there will be leaping. John leaps in Elizabeth's belly and she interprets the leap as prophecy. Elizabeth has no idea of Mary's visitation. There's no cell phones. Mary didn't call her. She just showed up. She had immersed herself in a scriptural gaze her whole life. And the leaping in her womb told her the leap was for the Messiah in Mary's belly. We came home from Germany in 1995, and we came home to a job in which I made far less than as a missionary in Europe. But we knew the return to the USA was the right decision. We came back with nothing, and then God started to speak. The Reinhardts offered us their home for 6 months. Gary Higby, my ordination mentor, sent this snail mail letter that arrived the day after I had been up in Germany all night anxiously praying. And I have to admit, not speaking very kindly with God. The psalm I was immersed in, and I spent about 4 hours in this psalm, right in the middle of dark night in Germany, Psalm 27. And the last verse of that psalm, I was pulling commentaries down, and I was reading stuff on it, and I was doing word studies, and I was arguing with God, and it said at the very end, "I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong, take heart, and wait for the Lord." And Gary wrote a so encouraging letter. And it came snail mail. That's the way, you know, there's no email at this point. There's no cell phone. As a matter of fact, well, you could call home or somebody could call you. But when you called, we had this thing and it would just keep clicking and it would show you how much you're spending. And it was like like for the national debt, and it's, you know, it's just going like this, and it's just, it makes you sweat because the debt keeps going up so much, right? Well, he, at the end of this snail letter that he wrote 2 weeks before, he said, "Mark, remember David's words from Psalm 27, the last verse. I am still confident of this. I'll see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong, and take heart, and wait for the Lord." The night before I received and opened that letter, I had been awake in Psalm 27. Now, you can call that coincidence, that 5 hours later, I went to my German mailbox, and Gary Higby wrote 2 weeks prior the exact same verse. I read it to Carrie. I came down that morning and told Carrie, I said, "This God gave me this." So I got to immerse myself in it. And I go to the mailbox and I come home and you're not going to believe this. That is a John leaping in the womb story. We don't know how it's going to pan out. But God is at work. God's hand is resting on the situation. And what does that mean? John gets beheaded. And Jesus gets crucified. But God is doing something very, very big. It's universal. Mary is excited. Elizabeth laughs. And leaping John makes them look beyond their circumstances. What makes you look beyond your circumstances? Let us be Christ followers that look beyond our circumstances with Mary and with Elizabeth. The second Advent verb is live. Live. Look and live. Think of the excitement in this story, because babies and pregnancies are exciting. Angels showing up to Zechariah and Mary create wonder and create mystery. It's a magical story. Look at how Elizabeth shows us how to live. Her life is mundane. She cleans house. She cooks. She does laundry. She washes dishes. She loves God. She's attentive to His word. She is living a blameless life for a long time. She's a grandma age without grandkids or kids, but she turns up bulging with life. But she is not at all envious of Mary. Mary is the mother of God, the mother of Elizabeth's Lord. She doesn't question why she can't be the mother of the Messiah after years of faithfully looking at God's way. There is not an ounce of jealousy. No, God must love Mary more than me because she gets to carry the Messiah and I don't. Elizabeth doesn't give in to the comparison demon, the envy demon, or the resentment demon. No, Elizabeth calls down praise on Virgin Mary. "Blessed are you, Mary, among all women." Hear this. Mary is more important than any woman who has walked the earth. That's what the song says. Mother Teresa, great person. Mary's more powerful. Princess Diana doesn't hold a candlestick to Mary. Taylor Swift, I need not say anything. Queen Elizabeth, no. they will all kiss the feet of Mary. The hope for Messiah was extinguished by Mary's simple yes, because the yes said, he's coming. He's here. He's in her womb. Elizabeth's blessing extends to Jesus, and blessed is the child you will bear. Mary is blessed only in relationship to the child deep inside her. Mary is the mother of Elizabeth's Lord, the Theotokos. Elizabeth is almost breathless that the Messiah in Mary's womb would pay her a visit. Mary's willingness to carry Jesus, is not an end in and of itself. Mary is not the point of the pregnancy or the Christmas story. This time of year is not Mary-mas Christmas time. It is Christmas time. She is the pointer. Jesus is the point. And what does Mary teach us about the verb live? Mary lives life in relationship to the Word of God. Verse 45 is sung over Mary. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. And it's not a coincidence. Not a coincidence that the longest chapter in the Bible is a prayer about the Word of God. It takes a person 15 minutes to pray it slowly. Psalm 119. All 176 verses tell us about the Word of God and its role in our lives. John's nativity story is about the Word of God becoming flesh. It does us no good to know God's Word without the simple yes of Mary, be it unto me as you have said. Mary lives God's Word. We don't need to know more about God. Can I tell you that? You don't need to know more about God. We have more information about God than any other culture in the history of the world. You don't need to read another book, and neither do I, even though I know I'm going to this afternoon. The printing press was invented in 1440. Think about this. Before that date, people read the gospel story in the pictures on the church wall. It was all visual. We've lost that. We've lost that beauty. We carry libraries in our pockets called cell phones. You can look up anything you want. It's amazing. Our problem is not we need to know more. We probably need to clutter our minds, get the clutter out of our minds of what we know and just allow ourselves to be with Jesus. But what we need to do is act on what we already know. We need to do what we know. Mary shows us how to do this, how to live. Yes, Lord, I'm willing. Yes, Lord, I'm willing. This yes is a commitment to take all the anxiety and worry in Mary and commit it to the Word of God. I'll do what you're asking. We have all stood in line at the store while being entertained by the tabloids' crazy stories. You're waiting. There they are. You read them. I know you do. You can't take your eyes off of them. They're ridiculous. What will you think Mary's hometown tabloids said about her? Maybe alien impregnates girl. Joseph or a mystery man? You decide. Deuteronomy 22 instructs that Mary should be stoned. She should be stoned. Mary says yes and doesn't know what people will do. Mary doesn't say yes to God knowing that Joseph will care for her. That comes later. She has to tell him that her pregnancy is a God miracle and pray he understands the incomprehensible. She doesn't know the future of her yes. Mary lets the loose ends dangle as God's problem and not hers. What she is responsible for is one little simple word. What about you? Yes. Mary tells angel Gabriel that she is the Lord's servant. Three times the word blessed is used by Elizabeth. The first two are the same word. Blessed is Mary among women, and blessed is the child she carries. These are the parental blessings of laying your hands on a child and blessing them. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I bless you. I love. That's one of Carrie's favorite things that that Jerry Sitzer instructed us to do, is all throughout the day, pray in the name of the Trinity. You see people, bless them. I bless them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let the whole Godhead be part of your relationships with people. That's what those first two words are. Blessed is Mary among women. Blessed is the child she carries. In verse 45, the third use is a different word. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. And this is the word of the Beatitudes, of the upside-down kingdom that we prayed in our service. Blessed are you who are poor. Mary is powerless. She was a slave, not a handmaiden. She was a slave. Handmaiden is a wimpy translation. More and more translations are saying, no, we have to say slave here. She is a dirty slave. Mary was penniless. She and Joseph give a pair of doves at the circumcision of Jesus. That is the offering allowed for the poor. Blessed are those who hunger now. Mary hungered for simplicity of doing God's will. That was it. Just a simple yes, regardless of the cost. Blessed are those who weep now. Happiness is absent in this blessed. Mary stood by Jesus and watched him die. Little imagination is needed to see her son's blood splattered on her clothes. Simon prophesies over the mother of our Lord, Mary, a sword will pierce your heart too. Blessed are you, Mary, when men hate you. Her first act with Joseph is they're on the run to Egypt because Herod hates them and he's trying to kill them. Mary in her life is the first disciple of Jesus, showing us how to live out the Beatitude word, blessed, as our Lord's servant. She bared a child. Elizabeth and Mary, old and young, menopause and teenage virgin. So what do I say about the Virgin Mary? I want to say I stick with singing with Elizabeth. I stick to the Bible. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed it is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Hail Mary, Mother of God, in the name of the Father, and Son, and Holy Spirit. Let's pray.